It is stuffy in here. I feel like the need to open some windows. Oh, it's noise cancelling, and we're going to talk about windows. There we are, straight in. People can't see the hands that all went to the faces straight away with the start of this one. But this is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, where we talk tech. We talk about things that other people maybe don't. Why don't they? Because it's boring. We try and make it funny. We fail. Let's find out who's going to help me do that.
First of all I do is win, no matter what. My name is Sherelle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
And I am Daryl Baxter. I'm the software and downloads writer at Tech Radar.
And I'm Zach Bowden. I'm a senior editor for Windows Central.
And I am Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. Sheree, were you going for a win-win-win doze joke, or was it just...
No, I was going for a DJ Khaled joke.
Yeah, I was trying to fuse the two, you know, as we've always tried to do, Bill Gates and DJ Khaled finally together.
No one wants that.
Well, you haven't tried it. This week, as I said, we are talking about Windows because Windows 11 has turned up. Mm. It's the one that Microsoft promised it wouldn't do, because it's like, no, we're sticking with 10, but let's go turn it up to 11, lol. They didn't say that and say lol at the end. That would have been a great press conference if that's how they'd done it. But even though I like some, you know, where it goes forwards and, you know, each name is different and goes forwards in terms of evolution, it makes it more simple to understand what's where. We can do better than Windows 11, right? You know, you've played with it, Daryl and Zach. You know, yeah. What would be a better name for this iteration? Let's go to you first, Daryl.
Or I think something around the lines of Xbox, so maybe Windows Series W or Series 1. Why not?
Okay. Show your workings.
Okay.
On the spot.
So obviously, you know, this looks like a reboot once again of Windows with a look. So I'm thinking, you know, why not align it with the gaming side? Because it's a big focus on gaming in Windows 11. So why not make it a series 1, 2, 3 of Windows and just have a W in, just to make it Series W. Why not?
Okay. You've done better there. Well done.
Thank you.
Zach.
Along the lines of them not wanting to do another version of Windows, here we go again. Because nobody was expecting Windows 11, and then they finally did it 6 years after Windows 10. And everyone's like, oh no, not another version. We didn't want another version, but here we are.
Sheree.
I'm more of the esoteric type, so I would have been very pleased with Windows Horizon. It just sounds cool. It's definitely a new horizon for Windows. So yeah, I would have gone with that.
See, I feel like, you know, this is kind of the rebirth of Windows, also the continuation of the rebirth of Microsoft and of Windows. You know, the company was sinking, and now it's back to, you know, 2 trillion, you know, it's whatever it is. It's an incredible reboot, and that Windows, you know, people still know Microsoft for Windows. A lot of the money is made in lots of other different places now, but this is kind of the figurehead. And I feel like it's time for something bigger. I'm like, let's go Windows Thunder. Let's go Windows Ultra. Or, you know, I would have said like originally Delta, but that's not the freight. That's not a good one at the moment. But, you know, something that's just like sounds 80s cool, like Electro.
Windows Infinity would have been a good one as well. Yes. Something along the lines of just being like the future of Windows, the next generation of Windows, Windows Infinity. And it works in marketing, right?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of really can't go Infinity plus one later on, so they really true. Are saying this is the last one. I promise you, because we've got the biggest number that could possibly exist.
Very true.
I wonder if they're shying away from names like Horizon or things like that.
Thunder.
After the Vista debacle.
True. Yeah, I mean, Vista again would have been good, like Vista 2. Like, no, we're gonna make Vista work, we don't care. We're that annoyed about how bad it was that I'm always still annoyed that, yeah, we talk about Windows, and I was very much a Windows 98 kid. That's when things were good for me. And then you start like with the like consoles of the time, you started to look at the next iteration as like the big thing. And you had, you know, where we had the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo became the Nintendo 64, and then the GameCube wasn't as good. And the Sega Saturn felt like it was supposed to be the sequel to the Mega Drive, but it never really was because it wasn't as good. And you like Windows 2000 felt like that. It was, you know, you had to upgrade from 95 to 98, and you kind of had to upgrade from 98 to XP or whatever. But 2000 seemed to be like this weird, yeah, it's sort of there, it's sort of not kind of version of Windows.
I remember actually I was on a family holiday, Universal Studios, right? And there was actually a pre-order queue for Windows 2000 at Universal Studios. I have no idea why, but you know.
Did you find out when you got to the front of the queue?
If only. But yeah, that was my, that's my childhood at 10 years old.
People used to be really excited about new versions of Windows.
Yeah,
when
I was.
Windows 95 launched, people used to line up for like copies of it and stuff. It was, you know, like people were crazy about Windows back in the 90s and early 2000s, but that's definitely not the case these days, I don't think.
Well, it's because it was the only thing you could use, really. You know, there wasn't, yeah. It was, Macs didn't really exist as a real viable choice for most people. And everyone had a Windows PC if you had a PC. So it was like, well, my day-to-day life is going to change massively. And I think if you had to go and buy the latest version of iOS or Android, I think you'd see the same thing.
Because, true, yeah.
You know, I have it on disk. It's a very different thing to like, oh, it's just chucked at you without you really knowing about it. And it's now free. That's a whole different ball game. But yeah, I think I miss those days. I miss days of anything being like whether it's tech or whether it's, you know, a game or even a book, you know, like those points where the next thing is coming, you can't wait to see what it's going to be. You know, I queued up for the final Harry Potter. I didn't. I was doing a drama degree, and they got us down to do a dramatic reading of the last book so that people were listening, queuing up, could get excited for it. But it was like such a big event. Like it was the ending of it. I can't wait. And even though I don't say I wasn't the bigger Harry Potter fan, I was. I can't pretend otherwise. But yeah, I like that. And I feel like it's a shame that we don't get that with, you know, software downloads and stuff being delivered over the air and you can get your PlayStation games. Oh, sounds so old. Let's move on to the next section. Zach, it's good to have you on here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Your microphone looks amazing. It also looks like a coffee cup from a takeaway cafe, which I keep thinking you're talking to like a beverage.
Thanks. I think it's the HyperX. It's got an awesome red light on it, and that's the only reason why I got one.
Checks out. I mean, it works for me. You're obviously new to the podcast, and
yes,
one of the things we have is the Gadget Hall of Fame, which, as I've said to many of our listeners and people who have come on the show, if you imagine where they store the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones, like, what would that have looked like when they first bought the space? It would be very empty. And so we've got lots of shelves to fill, and we're trying to fill them with gadgets that people care about. There's also a skip in the corner where we throw away some stuff where we think, no, not having that. Currently, Matt Swider, TechRadar's US editor-in-chief, has a pair of branded TechRadar headphones that I dislike immensely. They live in there, and a broken jawbone up. Those are the two things that are currently inside there. So what have you bought for the Gadget Hall of Fame? And can it make it onto the hallowed halls?
So mine probably won't fit on the shelf, but I'll describe it to you anyway.
Good enough.
About 15 years ago, Microsoft built something that they called the Surface Table.
Yes.
Which was essentially this coffee table thing with a big computer built in and a massive 28-inch screen on top. And I own one of those. And it currently resides in my living room and is usually a talking point when people come and visit. It's a crazy old school PC with like a spinning hard drive in it, and I think it uses a projector for its display. It's crazy. Yeah. But it can also like detect objects when you place them on top of the table, so that's kind of unique compared to other touchscreens, which can only really identify fingers and whatnot. And I have one of those, and it's insane.
Does it still work?
Wow.
Yes, it still works. It's seen better days, but it does still work.
That's a throwback. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you get that?
I saw an eBay listing one day and I thought, you know what? For that price, I've got to have one.
Wow.
I love that. There are so many things where I've had the same thing on eBay. I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna buy that. And again, just so I can, you know, officially put it in a drawer. But
yeah,
it's nice to own it. And obviously, you've got a table. You can't really hide that
away.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, when it's not on, it's a great place to put your hot dinner.
Yeah. And what did you use it for? What have you used it for? You know,
I mainly grabbed it for sort of content around Windows Central. One of my goals with it was to put Windows 10 on it at the time because it came with, I think, Windows Vista back in the day. Did that successfully. It's not a great thing to use every day. It's more there for show rather than for function. Now I guess I'm going to try and put Windows 11 on it. We'll see if that's possible.
I mean, you're not selling it super well.
No, well, I mean, they don't make them anymore, so I don't have to.
Can you play Minesweeper on it?
You can play Minesweeper on it. I also played GTA San Andreas on it, and it worked just fine.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. You can play that on a phone.
No,
so.
Yes, I'm not saying it's impressive, but it could do it.
Okay. I'm not sure. Sheree, how do you feel about this?
You are the only one that does not want to put things into their proper place. I think this belongs on the wall. I think this belongs in the club.
Yeah. Maybe. I feel like I was really excited at the start and you've really gone downhill. You're like, well, I can kind of use it to see if I could just put stuff on it now.
I mean, back in the day it had better
I want a story
uses.
Where, like, you know, you brought around a family member and, you know, it you know, found out that they secretly weren't your brother or something.
It has AI built in. Yeah, no.
Or like, finally, you were the one that worked out there's a holographic Cortana that would just appear above, levitating or something. But
sadly, not.
No, that's a shame. But okay, I'll let it in. I feel like,
oh, thanks.
Mostly because it wouldn't fit in the skip. So yeah. we got more space outside. So good. Right, let's move on to what's actually going on, which is Windows 11. We're not going to talk all about that because even though we do want to find out, you know, what the next level is going to be, but we're more interested in, like, we've got, I don't know what the cumulative level of experience of Windows is on this call. I keep saying a call because we're doing it virtually, obviously, but on this podcast. And we want to hear about where people have gone. I want to start with Windows 7 parties. Does anybody remember one of those?
I remember them, yes.
Did you host one?
I did not host one. I was not cool enough to host a Windows 7 party.
You didn't have to be cool enough, trust me. So for those that don't know, this was Microsoft's, it was odd, I'll be honest. It was this plan where it would get people to, if they agreed to host a Windows 7 party, which was basically like the launch of it, get your friends around, do some stuff, they would give you a copy of Windows. I did that to try and see if I could get myself a copy. It did work. Had a very low-key personal party with some cards and enjoyed myself in that sense. But it was really strange to see it happen. It was like it didn't resonate. It was kind of like early days of social media, so you couldn't really share what you're doing very easily either. We've had Windows Magazine in future as well, and they had to have their own little Windows parties in there as well. And I've spoken to some people that worked on that magazine. They were like, they were difficult. It was difficult pretending to have a sit-down, super fun gathering with, you know, party food and plates and stuff around the launch of a new operating system, what are you supposed to do? So it was kind of like Microsoft was trying to make up for Vista by doing something a bit different. I don't think it really worked in the same way. Actually, shaking her head quite profusely.
I'm listening to you talk about this, and just so I'm very clear about this, Microsoft was trying to bribe people to get the new OS, Windows 7 at the time, by cajoling them to have parties, physical parties, celebrating the launch of Windows. That, if that doesn't scream, give me your lunch money, nerd, I don't know what does.
This was probably the moment Microsoft realized people weren't willing to line up for new versions of Windows anymore. It was like, no one's even partaking in parties at this point. Why are they going to line up?
They get some playing cards, though. So, true. You know, who's the winner here, this guy? I mean, Zach, when we were talking previously, you highlighted the kind of the very obvious, why has Microsoft always been bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, like with Windows? Why do you think that is, and when did it start?
I think it started with Windows ME. Or Millennium Edition, as some people may know it as, because they did like this dual release in the year 2000. They did Windows 2000, which is the one I think most people remember.
Universal
and then
Studios.
They had Windows ME, which was essentially the consumer version of Windows 2000. Windows 2000 was great. Windows ME was bad. It was just buggy. There was issues with it. People didn't have a good time running it. Then Windows XP came out and it was good. And then we all know what comes after XP, Windows Vista, which is considered by most to be the worst version of Windows ever.
And but why? Why is it the worst?
Because of when it... So it took a long time to develop. It had just a nightmare in the labs and stuff. But when it finally came out, the spec requirements for PCs at the time couldn't really run it. They were still sort of built for XP, and Vista had upped system requirements quite significantly. So when people tried to upgrade to it, they found their PCs were running worse as a result. Plus, they made some changes to how drivers install, and there was user access control, or user account control, that's it, which was a nightmare as well. So then Windows 7 came along and they fixed most of those issues. And by the time 7 launched, most PCs were able to run Vista, so they could run 7 just fine. And then 8 came after 7, and 8 changed the game to the dismay
tiles.
Of most people. Yes, the
introduction. Tiles for everyone.
The introduction of live tiles and the fact that, maybe everybody wants to use a touch first operating system on our PCs, which turned out to be completely untrue. And then Windows 10, which was them sort of admitting that, you know what, you were right, we were wrong, let's go back to basically what Windows 7 was like, but with a little bit of 8 mixed in. And then we're here today with Windows 11. Will it be good? Will it be bad? History suggests it's going to be terrible, but maybe they've broken the cycle.
Windows 8 was... I'd forgotten about it until you mentioned the word tiles. I was like, oh yeah, that one.
Yes.
it had It had one of the worst start menus.
It didn't have a menu. It had a screen.
They brought back the start menu, didn't they? Eventually, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Within
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because they were what they were trying to do is basically homogenize Windows Phone and tablets was still Windows tablets were still a thing, and they're like, well, why should we make all these different operating systems where we can make one and just stretch it across each? Good idea in theory, horrible execution.
Yeah, it was really bad. On tablets, it was okay. Like, they were going after the iPad quite clearly back then. That was when they released the first Microsoft Surface tablet, and that ran Windows 8 or Windows RT. We won't even talk about Windows RT.
Oh, God, please no.
And that was okay, but it was the fact that they forced it upon everybody, even those on desktops with like traditional keyboards and mice. That was the problem most people had, because it was really difficult to sort of relearn with a cursor. So a few years with Windows 8, then they decided to go back to the sort of start menu interface with Windows 10. And that's kind of where we are, to be honest.
And it was weird, wasn't it, back with Windows 8? You had the Metro interface.
Yes.
But then they had to stop using it because, you know, there was the Metro group who got quite annoyed about that, obviously, to say it was a very similar thing.
They ended up calling it the modern UI, I think.
Yeah. Because I went to visit Microsoft when they were doing, was it Windows Phone 7 or 8? Either way, the earlier days of Windows Phone when they upgraded from Windows Mobile, and it was all this tile-based interface. And on a phone, it was brilliant. Like, I still think it's one of the best interfaces out there.
I absolutely agree with that statement.
But it was like, and it got better. You could sort of smush the tiles together and you could make them transparent so you could see behind. But, you know, you could do some really cool stuff with it. Just didn't have the apps. But at the heart of it, it was a really good interface. And, like, you know, there were some things that Adidas would... They made their version of My Coach, which is the running app I used all the time. And inexplicably, it was just miles better on the Windows Phone, because it had, like, was it the Horizon? Was that the name of the user interface where you could scroll across with the app as well, rather than just up and down? And it allowed you just to see more things, but in a kind of it felt like a desktop in a phone, which is a clever way of doing things. And you could just do so much more with that. And it just failed, and it was so sad. And when I saw, you know, that it was being brought to the Windows experience, and it's just so annoying that it was just over-engineered. Like, you could have just had, like, right, here's a tablet. A tablet that uses this interface and it works really well. We're not going to put it anywhere near the computer.
Right,
it's just going to be a whole thing and it's going to work. It's going to be fine. But no, it was like, you know, you open up Windows 8. You're like, where's my start menu? There's no start menu. But that's how I use Windows. That's not how I use Windows anymore. But I want to, but you can't.
Yeah.
And like, I had, you know, my partner at the time's mum saying, well, I don't understand. Can you come and help me? And I was like, oh, God. Daryl, you said this was your biggest problem, where you're like IT tech support for your entire extended family and the country, basically, I think.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely the County of Lincoln. I mean, it was really just, all I could see were just huge start menus on every monitor when I visited. And a family member who remained nameless, I mean, they thought that Windows 8 somehow enabled a touchscreen for their display from what they'd owned for years.
So, was it you? Was it you?
No. So, yeah, it was definitely a dilemma, and the fact that the desktop was relegated to an app essentially was it was very strange for a lot of people to kind of get to grips with, especially when they had their icons like set in the right way on the desktop, because that's a big thing for a lot of people, icons in the right place. And because they went and replaced by tiles, it was a nightmare, Gareth. Absolute nightmare.
What was the worst you had to deal with? Was it the fact that someone thought they could poke their screen?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, it was like just ding on a 24-inch LCD monitor, and let's never speak of that again.
The worst thing that for me during the Windows 8 era was that not only was the start screen a nightmare, but they also removed the start button. So if you was on the desktop, there was no button to get back to the start screen. You had to sort of either know what to do or you were stuck. And they had hidden the start button. It was like in the very far corner now, like below the display. It was stupid design. But yeah, it was hidden, but like the start button was gone. And that was the biggest thing for people, I think. I remember lots of family members asking me, hey, how do I get back to start now? Because I'm in the desktop and I don't know where the start button is. And that was just insane.
All I heard from that time was no compromise. It's all I heard. No compromise. No compromise.
Yeah, they took the guys making Windows 8 took the Apple approach of, we know what's best for the user. They will get used to it. And they were completely wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, not just a bit.
Yeah, no, completely.
Yeah. And I feel like that was the time you say about the good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, that Microsoft had to do a bit of a reboot, because it suddenly started to seem like it was going the way of the you know, the BlackBerrys of this world, the Nokias, where, you know, Nokia's a good example because they became synonymous with Microsoft having been bought and then just ruined, where it was just making bad mistake after bad mistake, and that you thought, is this once great company now becoming irrelevant? So, you know, to bring it back with Windows 10 is quite impressive. But why, what's wrong with Windows 10? Why have we had so many, like, up stories about the updates failing? Like, what's going on? Genuine, it's a genuine question. It sounds like I'm a podcast presenter trying to move the conversation. I'm like, I keep seeing it in our traffic of like Windows 10 update fail, and it's like thousands of people are looking. Like, what's happened again?
Like, I've never rooted for something to fail as bad as a Windows 10 update, just solely due to the traffic bumps that we get from. From said tragedies. It's like, oh, another blue screen of death error. Ooh. Traffic for everyone. I have no idea. I don't know if they're rushing it over there. I don't know if they are partaking of the stickiest of the icky during work hours. I just don't get why there are so many fails. I don't get why there's so many updates. Like, every month there's an update.
It's broken. It's obviously broken.
Yeah. And every month, something new breaks something old. It's just like, but why? Where's the QA team? Like, this is Microsoft. I expect there to be top-notch QA, like, quality assurances put in place. But no, it's just like, nah, let's throw some shit against the wall and see if it sticks. Nah.
I think there's two parts to why this is the case. One, Microsoft inexplicably committed to two major feature updates for Windows a year, when everyone else in the industry only does one. So there's no real time for the platform to mature, as we're always moving on to the next thing by the time the old thing's just ready, you know, just getting stabilized and basically good to go at this point. And the other thing is, Microsoft actually fired most of its QA team back in 2014, I think it was, because they introduced something called the Windows Insider Program. And this is essentially public testing. You can sign up as a tester to test the next version of Windows if you'd like for free, and you give them data and feedback and they fix bugs based on what you report. The problem with that is that they're always, you know, that's always moving as well. So there's never really a moment where you get to test like a shipping version of Windows for a prolonged period of time. It's always moving on to the next thing. So I think that might play a part into why this is happening. So with Windows 11, actually, they're going back to one major feature update a year, which should hopefully mean the platform gets a lot more time testing. And so by the time when it launches, there's less bugs and issues to deal with.
Yeah, and one of our biggest stories of all time was the notion that Windows, an update to Windows, might change the way copy and paste works, that it won't be the same, just, you know, control C, control V, you'll have a different clipboard system and it'll be more advanced and everything.
Right.
Genuinely millions and millions of reads, just people losing their shit about the thought of just the simple copy and paste going away. And I kind of get it, you know, I need to move this to there. And, you know, it was one of the things that the iPhone was lambasted for so many years, because you couldn't copy and paste, even though I didn't care, really. It became like a thing of like, can it copy and paste? No, well, it's terrible then, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, but I don't really need it. Like, even now that I can copy and paste everywhere, it's still a bit of a nightmare on a phone. Like, it's not easy to do. It's not the same as doing it on a Windows desktop or whatever. But I like the fact that it's this really small, basic thing. Like, I don't know if they have. Have they got rid of Minesweeper on Windows now? I haven't looked in years. Still there?
I think it's gone.
It's gone.
Has it? Okay, I was about to say that's the sort of thing that people get annoyed about. No, but Solitaire. Solitaire's the one, right?
Solitaire's still
there. That's still there. Yeah, because that's when people will lose their minds. I mean, let's just bring back pinball. I mean, that was a great little find. When you get a work computer and you'd be like, oh, it's locked down. Is pinball available? Yes, it is. Oh, brilliant. That's going to give me a good 2 hours a day of excitement just playing pinball. I miss that. That should come back. But yeah, I feel like it's the small stuff that people care about. So you say about the Windows Insider program, that's roughly where we are with Windows 11 now, right?
Yes, it's now in preview with Windows Insiders. So if you want to test Windows 11 out, you can do so by signing up to the Insider program. But otherwise, I don't think it's launching until October, sometime in the autumn.
How much can you mush up your machine by doing Windows 11 now?
It's you can never tell.
Don't.
Yeah, I would not recommend it. I've been lucky that none of my PCs have exploded, but you know, you never know in regards to beta software.
And you were one of the first people to see Windows 11 in the end, because it wandered onto the internet a bit early, right?
Yes, there was a sort of unfinished build that appeared, and it had like half of the new stuff, but not all of it. It was kind of this weird build, but yes, it leaked a couple weeks back, and we sort of grabbed it and took a look at it, and it was super interesting.
What was that like, you know, suddenly seeing, like, did you first disbelieve that it was there or what?
I had sort of known for a while that this is what they were doing. So when I saw it, I sort of immediately knew. But the internet's reaction was along the lines of, oh my God, what the hell is this? This doesn't look like Windows 10. And that's because it wasn't. This was sort of the confirmation that, oh, they're actually doing a Windows 11 now. Because we've known for a while that they were planning this Windows event and they wanted to announce something big. We just didn't know what. This leak confirmed that, oh yes, Windows 11 is coming, and it had a new start menu and a sort of centered taskbar design and rounded corners on app windows. Like, they've really gone into the big changes, everyone. But they've really sort of gone into the whole design part of Windows, because I think everybody can agree, Windows 10, not the best looking OS in the world. Windows 11, they're trying to fix that.
So what was it like, you know, when you first opened it up? What was the first thing you wanted to do to see, like, right, here's a new Windows, and no one in the world really has seen it?
I wanted to see how the start menu works, just in case they destroyed that. And I also wanted to see how the animations work, because I'm a big fan of, like, fluid animations on software and whatnot. And both of those, are very good in this version. The live tiles in the start menu are gone. They've replaced them with, you know, a static grid of icons. But they work, you know, it works on iOS, it works on macOS. I don't see why it wouldn't work here on Windows. Goodbye, live tiles. The animations are smooth and as well. They've really fixed up, you know, maximizing windows and minimizing windows. They all look much more fluid now. There's in the official build, at least, there's new action center and notifications UI stuff. There's a control center for access to things like your Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. There's a new widgets feature. So if you're a fan of live tiles, they've essentially formed into widgets now.
I like widgets.
You can customize them. They come out into like a separate panel and whatnot, which is super fun. And there's also coming in a future build, Microsoft Teams integration, which is very interesting. If you use Microsoft Teams for work, this might be interesting to you. Although I don't actually think it works with the enterprise accounts. I think it only works with personal accounts, which is kind of stupid. What? Yeah.
Why isn't it there at the start? Like, Microsoft Teams is there. Google have got Chromebooks with the G Suite's just been baked in from day one. Mm. Like, why? Why not have it at the start? That's, you know, even those that don't understand what Microsoft Teams are roughly know they exist.
Yeah.
So surely that should be the central tenet.
Well, it is. Right? Like, the Teams integration is pinned to the taskbar. It's not in the start menu. But again, I think this is only for the personal accounts, at least at launch. Maybe they'll introduce it for the sort of work accounts later. But what they're really doing with Teams on Windows 11 is trying to compete with iMessage or, you know, whatever else is out there, WhatsApp. Because they want their own sort of... They have Skype. I don't know why they're not using Skype, but...
That's going though, isn't it?
That's sort of the rumour, right? That they're going to kill off Skype and replace it with Teams.
Has anything ever been screwed up worse than Skype?
I know.
Like, it existed. eBay decided to buy it and was like, why do we spend billions of dollars on this? Like, you could Skype someone you just bought something from? No, let's not do that. That's just opened a whole can of problems. Let's sell it again. Brilliant. And then like, what are we going to do with this? There's a pandemic. Everyone will be video chatting. no. Everyone's just started using this really insecure Zoom for some reason. Like, it's a lesson in how to screw things up properly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Microsoft is good at that. They did it with Nokia. They did it with Skype. Who knows what they'll do it with next?
But what more of an opportunity do you want? Like, Skype was the byword for video calling before Zoom took over when everyone started video calling. It's like, it's amazing. Mm. And I still get so annoyed because, like, Zoom was terrible.
Yeah. Mm.
It was like, you know, it was just easy. And then everyone was like, yeah, that's all I want. And you, yeah. Think, just one person to go like, well, I've retooled Skype, sir. Don't know who you report to. And it's now like, you just press this button to get into it. Can we launch it? Like, no, don't be silly. No one will go for that. We've ruined it. Daryl, we talked about iMessage there. Like, Windows versus Mac. I mean, obviously Apple has suddenly zoomed further into the computing game with the M1 chipset.
Yeah.
Powering its MacBooks and its Macs now. And it's just instantly gone like, yeah, we're good at this now. This is how we do it. macOS has been getting... You know, depending who you talk to, better and better or worse and worse as it's gone on. But arguably, it's more user-friendly than ever. You know, Windows versus Mac, it's been a perennial thing. Hopefully, we won't see any terrible adverts about, hey, I'm a PC, whatever. But which one is better now in your mind, given when you've had a play with both
the
new versions?
That's a question sprung up on me, Gareth. So what could be better? So,
well, you've just been drinking Aperol Spritz or something in the corner.
Iron Brew, like the best drink.
Gin glass, that is the best drink, fair play.
Where do I begin? I mean, first of all, I mean, I've been testing Windows 11 as well. And to be honest, the new look of it is really good. I mean, everything's unified. Everything seems better. There's the memory of Windows Phone looks to be going entirely. But obviously, when you go to macOS, I mean, it's had this new look since last year with Big Sur and its whole redesign. And then improved one this year. But, you know, I've always kind of said that it just kind of depends on your use case. I mean, if you're like heavy into the walled garden that is Apple, then macOS is going to be great for you. But again, I mean, with, say, Windows 11, it feels like still there's a bit of catch up to go, because obviously we've got the new Microsoft Store. You know, we've got Android apps slowly coming to it as well, which is going to help.
Yeah, but they don't, though, do they? Because you haven't got the Google Play Store.
Well, the Amazon App Store, next best thing, Gareth.
It's not, though, is it? It's not, though. No, look, Cherie, come on, tell us why.
Why what? Why? What? Why?
Just drink.
Well, why? You know, why the Amazon App Store? Like, why is that? Why not the Google Play Store? Why is that ridiculous? Come on, sort it out for us. This is your playground.
I mean, I never really used the Microsoft store, the Windows store, whatever they want to call it. So I don't see the purpose of it. Like, I'm going to be the optimist that I try to be in life with this store and see that maybe they'll find some usefulness for it this time around. But it's unorganized. It's like they put everything under the sun in it. So it's like, okay, like, not only can you get your Windows app, so if you are just jonesing for this special type of solitaire, it's like, we've got you. Plus, like, hey, here's, like, because it, you know what it is? I'm gun shy from the Windows Phone Store. Like, they never really took it from there, because that was just a rigmarole of just flaming garbage. It's just like, oh, well, here's a knockoff Instagram. Here's a knockoff Foursquare. Remember when Foursquare was a thing? Oh, good times, good times. And they've never really cleaned it up. They're like, okay, we'll give it a new name. And now they want me to believe them now. Like, oh, well, we're giving the store a whole new overhaul. But I just feel like it's just going to be a mishmash of Windows mixed reality apps, some gaming app, like some legitimate Xbox Game Pass stuff, productivity apps that no one's ever heard of. And I think it's going to be hot garbage. And then add to that, like, oh, then you can use Android apps natively, so they've got to have a place to put those. It's just gonna be a shit show.
Well, I've been beaten.
Well, I think we should mention that they are opening up the store to more app types with Windows 11. Before, it was a very locked down platform. You know, most sort of Windows apps that you use day to day weren't allowed in the store because of certain policy reasons and whatnot. But they're relaxing a lot of those policies now. So apps like Firefox or Google Chrome or Zoom, those, or Photoshop, those can now all be added to the Microsoft Store if those developers wanted. And that's kind of what Microsoft wants. They want the store to be like a home front to all the best Windows apps, regardless of whether it's, you know, a lockdown sort of Windows 8 or Windows 10 style app or a legacy Windows app that you've been using for 10 years. They want them in the store, and, you know, because that, you know, it makes the experience better, right? If you go into the store and you search for Chrome, you should find Chrome. There's no real alternative to that, so you should be able to find it. And hopefully with this new store, that actually happens.
I think it'll be easy for some, because yeah, a lot of people do a Google search for all their apps when they set up their PC. So I think this is going to be easier for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I still feel like if it's going to be a good store, it's going to have Grunts, the game Grunts. It's going to have the original version of Worms and Destruction Derby.
Yes.
Like, these are the three games that I played when it was, you know, back in Windows 98 days. And I'm like, I need them back in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I bought the upgraded version of just old man Gareth chat again. I bought the upgraded version of Rock and Roll Racing on the PlayStation just because loved it so much, and I'm sick of not playing on emulators, of course, over the years. And I want more of this in my life. I want the old stuff, which should be really easy to have whenever I want it now, because it's the future. Or like theme park world, I want that now. Like, I want to be able to just build a roller coaster, but not like in the new fancy ways, just in the old, and there's kids being sick, you got to clear it up ways. That's what I want more of. And I hope that happens, because that's the future Windows for me, stuff like that. Right, let's go on to our game now, Beeble Trends. Now, Zach, just to explain how this works, Google Trends is a thing. Mm-hmm. So, and what Google Trends will do, if you ever want to type it in, it's not like we're advertising it, do what you want, go to it, don't do it, I don't care. But you can see how people are searching for stuff and you can compare it. So 100 is the most popular thing, and then it's something else next to it will get like a level of level of how popular it is in comparison. So if it's 100, it's super popular. If it's zero, no one gives a shit. Those are the two levels we're going to. And we've got 10 stories from the world of tech this week that we're going to go through. And we're going to see which ones are the most impressive. So we'll start off with Windows 11. Can anyone guess, doesn't matter right or wrong, can anyone guess how popular that was out of 100 this week? 100 being the most popular, zero being no one cares.
32.
This was the game, was just to be clear, the results were taken on the 29th of the 29th of June at 3 p.m. GMT. So on the, yesterday, where the time of recording, how popular Windows 11? Cherise says 32. Any further advances?
I'm going to say 74.
Daryl?
I will say 85.
Cherise was very close with 37.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People have stopped caring very quickly.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, Wimbledon 2021 kicked off this week, which was obviously the tennis tournament in the UK. Is Wimbledon 2021 more popular or less popular than Windows 11?
Probably more.
Yep, it is more. But only by six. It's 43 out of 100. Next up, we've got... Well, the story was that Marvel's next mobile game is an open-world RPG with 50-player matches. But Marvel is obviously a big thing, generally. So Marvel is a keyword. How many people are searching for that? Was it more popular or less popular than Wimbledon 2021?
Given less. That Loki's on right now, people are probably searching for it more than usual, so maybe more. More than Wimbledon, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
You're right. You're right to go with it. It's 60.
Wow.
Oh.
Woo. Next up, the Nikon ZFC is a mirrorless reincarnation of one of the best film cameras ever. It's been a popular story for us this week. Nikon as a brand, more popular or less popular than Marvel?
Less.
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 Yeah, that's, come on, Matt, who put this order for me together? That's a bit easy. It's only 13. But this is going to be tricky. GTA 6.
Oh, no.
The leak this week, you probably won't be playing it anytime soon. So was GTA 6 a more popular or less popular search term than Nikon this week?
This is a hard one because I feel like people are always searching for GTA 6, but not exactly. Not enough for it to be like impactful.
It's the beauty of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a clever game. Let's be honest. We really,
more or
really
less
pitched
than,
it
what
well.
Was it? An Icon?
Nikon.
Probably less, I think. No, more. Sorry.
Daryl?
Higher.
Are you saying hello or are you saying that it's more?
I was just doing a Bruce Forsyth play your cards right. Higher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The answer is. Yes, higher by just, but only 19. Wow. So it's in the weeds. Right, Sony buys the developer of Returnal and leaks another huge PS5 acquisition. That was the story this week. I think the clue's in the headline that Sony has bought the Returnal developer. Returnal was a big game this year, everyone has enjoyed quite a lot. It was one of the popular roguelikes, and Housemarque is the developer, and it's been bought. And they're also going to be adding extras in the future as a leak, perhaps, that the Demon's Souls developer Bluepoint Games. So anyway, Returnal as a game, given the fact that the developer has been bought and that's going to really boost up the popularity, but the game itself has been out for a while, is that more popular or less popular than GTA 6? A game that's not even out.
Less. Yeah.
I thought it'd be harder. It is less. It's 10.
Because say, I've never heard of Returnal, but I've heard of GTA 6. So.
You've never heard of Returnal?
I have not, no.
I'm an old man gamer who doesn't play games anymore. I've never heard of it.
Oh, really? So, okay. I'm out of touch. I apologize.
I mean, it did come up in content planning meetings. That's how I learned about it. But yeah, in theory, you know, everyone could have the same access. Right. The next one is the Samsung Galaxy Watch 4. The reveal is set for an upcoming Unpacked event. So the Galaxy Watches have been getting progressively better. Wear OS, which is the Google operating system, and Samsung's Tizen OS are fusing together to take on the Apple Watch, let's be honest. So let's see what happens with that. But Samsung Galaxy Watch 4 is coming. The keyword we were looking for this week was Galaxy Watch. Is that more popular or less popular than Returnal?
Probably more. Yeah.
Now, I know that it is more, but my spreadsheet has crashed, so I can't tell you what the number was. I think it was 60. It is definitely more, because I remember that far. But yeah, it's quite a lot more than Returnal. It was 38, not 60, just returned itself. And finally, so every year phones are launched, as we know, and they're often launched at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, which was delayed this year to June because of that old pesky pandemic. But so this year it's happening, it's live, you can go there. MWC is the keyword. Is that more popular or less popular than Galaxy Watch?
Ooh.
It's one of the big events in the tech sphere. Let's be honest.
Less.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for more.
I'll go for more. Yeah.
Cherie was certain and correct. Literally three. The lowest by far.
You gotta remember, only we get geeked about conventions.
It's true, yeah. But I was thinking, who gets geeked about Galaxy Watches?
Like,
well, people still buy them. You know, they want to find out about it. It wasn't the story itself. It was the overall term. But yeah. And if you are even vaguely interested in Mobile World Congress, you know, I've been there 13 years or something, 12 years in a row, and I'm gutted not to be there this year. But it's weird if you see any videos from people who have gone there. It's just like these empty halls, which are usually thronging with people, and it's all sweaty, and you have to eat really weird sandwiches. And it's all dead, and it's just the same thing there, but like a ghost town. So sad times. Hopefully back next year, because it's nice to go to Barcelona and look at phones with a really tired head. So I think you guys did pretty well. I didn't count your scores, but I think it was more right than less. So well done for you. Nikon was the tricky one in there. Mm. So well done for trying to navigate around that one. Zach, have you had a good time today?
I have. This has been very enjoyable. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's been great. I felt like when we discussed that Windows as a topic, I thought, could this be shit? Luckily, we managed to have sidestepped that one, mostly by you having bought a massive table. I mean, yes. Are you going to just put Windows 8 back on there with the original no start menu version, everything, just to really upset yourself?
I could do that if I wanted to. It would take me a long time. It would be a waste of my time, for sure.
Think of the feature. I mean...
Yes, true.
Yeah, you could also like do a feature on you just hitting yourself on the hand with a hammer in the same way, so it would be quicker. If people wanted to read more from you or speak to you on socials, how could they do so?
You can find my coverage at windowscentral.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Zach Bowden. That's ZACBOWDEN.
Great. Well done for getting your full name as a Twitter handle. More difficult than you think. Yeah. Daryl, how about you?
So you can find all my coverage at the software side of Tech Radar, and you can find me mainly on Twitter at Daryl Baxter.
Again, straight down the middle. Cherie, make it more complicated for us.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't call it complicated. I would call it fun.
Branding. It's your brand. It is.
So if you want to keep up with me, and I just applied for the Twitter verification checkmark, so fingers crossed. But if you want to keep in touch with me on Facebook or Instagram, you could do that at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. That is three S's, not two, not four, but three S's. And of course, for all things that are laptops, those even Chromebooks, which I don't believe in, tablets, which are also fictional devices, headphones, VR, keyboards, anything that makes your mobile life better, absolutely, positively, gallivant, traipse, skip to my loo, whatever you need to do, get over to Laptop Mag, and as always, laptop then, laptop now, and laptop forever!
I can't believe you're not verified, Miss Smith 11.
I forgot about it, and then I was like, oh yeah, they opened up verifications again. So, hey, fingers crossed.
Good luck.
And Zach, you're not verified either. I just noticed.
No,
that's crazy.
I tried the verification thing. They turned me away. So
what?
I've given up. That's why I said good luck. I don't know what they want from me at this point.
The table.
Yeah.
Give your surface table. Yeah.
What? Like, if, how?
I don't know.
I got verified by accident, I think. Like back in the olden
days. I've seen people on Twitter with like five followers who are verified. I don't understand how it works. I just don't get it.
Because they're super legit. Because they're like they don't even need the followers. They can be verified.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel smug about this. I mean, Darren, we'll have to work on you.
I know. Yeah. Maybe I need to get a table as well. I don't know what counts now.
I think we just go for like a big marketing campaign. Like, let's get your face up on billboards in the central London stuff.
I can see that. Why not? Exactly. Let's do it.
Drinking iron brew. Right. Well, thank you very much for listening to episode 71 of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. I've enjoyed this. It's been a good one. If you've got any thoughts, please let me know. I'm SuperBeeve on Twitter. At Tech Radar is a great place for all your social needs. It's also a good website to go to read about tech. You know, the clues in the name. Please do like and subscribe to this podcast if you can, wherever you are. If it's an Apple podcast, give us 5 stars. That's well handy. People will see what we're all about and tell your friends. Otherwise, just keep listening and keep letting us know that you love us, because that's what makes our world go round. And we will speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.